This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hello and welcome to the 1912 Exiles podcast, the Newport County podcast made by the fans for the fans. I'm Ed, I am on hosting duty today. First up, and in the wrong bit of the podcast, I wanted to give a shout out to our very own Jamie Harris, who has smashed it out the park in the last few weeks. Firstly, with that interview that he did with John Pratt, which broke all known records for downloads to the pod. And then for the episode we put out last week, where he spoke to Ellis James about what county fans can expect from Hugh Jenkins, given his time in charge of Swansea City. I think it's fair to say that Jamie and I are both huge fans of Ellis's work, so it really did mean the world to have him on our humble pod. If you've not listened to the episode, please do give it a listen, because it was really, really good. And if you did listen and you enjoyed it, please do recommend it to a friend. I also wanted to give a big shout out to some of our generous listeners who've thrown in a few pennies via our Ko-fi account over the last few weeks. We haven't been doing what we've been meaning to do of give you a mention on the pod, so I want to name check the following. Let's have a look. Crawford, Daniel Hayreen, Dr. Bad Vibe, Joe, John D, Gareth Howells, Tony and Hamid. Thank you all for putting in the price of a coffee towards the running of the pod. Doing that means that we can keep putting out more episodes, we can help to grow the pod, we can do a few bits and bobs behind the scenes that just make it sound a little bit more professional. So really, really appreciate that. Anyone who wants to donate towards the running costs, if you go to ko-fi.com/1912exiles, there's a link in the show notes, you can do so. You can also leave comments on there. I did laugh at John D, who said he wanted to hear more nudity on the pod, so thanks for that, John. If you can't afford to chip in towards running costs, that's absolutely fine, but do spread the word, you know, give us a recommendation to a friend or a nice review somewhere. On to business. In a moment, we're going to analyse in depth yesterday's defeat to Harrogate, which really did get people talking, as we shall hear. But let's go back in time first to Tuesday night and the game against Colchester. I went along with my friend and friend of the pod, Simon. He only comes to a couple of games a season, but he always gives an honest assessment about how good or bad County are. We watched the game from the North Terrace, which was an unusual vantage point for me, but it was good fun. Got a really different perspective on the game from behind the goal, and it did rather lay bare our defensive frailties and some of the defensive chaos in the first half, with the gaps we were leaving in the centre being very apparent. But anyway, on the drive home afterwards, Simon and I recorded a few thoughts about the game, so let's hear that clip. Right, so back in the car after that one, a chilly night in the port, but a 2-1 win coming from behind to beat Colchester. I'm with Simon. My first question to you, Simon, is, were County lucky? Did we ride our luck, or did we earn our luck tonight?
I think we rode our luck tonight. We were not good first half and lucky to go in level at the break, and then a much, much improved second half. And then you think it's all wrapped up when they get down to 10 men, and even then it felt, I mean, we were at the opposite end and couldn't see it properly, but it felt we were one deflection or shot away from an equaliser, which I think would have been quite morale-destroying at that late stage. So a bit lucky, but we'll take it, right?
Yeah, I think so. And that M word, morale, I think it was one of those where we weren't great first half, but we played okay. We were, you know, giving as good as we got for chunks of it. And I think I said to you not long before we conceded the goal, and it was probably my fault, tempting fate and all that, that we were, it felt a little bit more robust than some of the more recent performances. And then we concede a goal and you think, oh dear, we're going to be up against it. And see, I'm going to slightly disagree with you, because I think in terms of luck, we've had a few things go against us in recent games. And Ian talked again at the weekend about at Salford, on another day we might have got something out of that game, blah blah blah. Today, two deflections gave us our two goals. But, and I made this point to you in the game, sometimes you do make your own luck, right? The play leading up to both goals, especially the second, I thought, was really good. There was some really nice intricate passing in the box. And you've got to have the bodies in the box so that you get the deflection. And I thought, all right, we were lucky with the goals being deflected in, but they didn't come out of nowhere. And then the second half performance, the spirit, the industry, the energy, the application, all of the high press, we came out with a clear plan, don't give them any time on the ball, harry them, make mistakes, and we did that exceptionally well. And you're right, Colchester had chances to equalise, but they didn't. And I feel like that was a really big win tonight, and with another home game on Saturday, that's put us in the right place. So I'm a pretty happy man. The other question I was going to ask you, because, you know, you famously come to one or two County games a season, who stood out for you tonight? Who were the players who impressed?
Oh, that is a good question. Because I'm not sure. I think Bogle in the second half was doing some nice touches and layoffs that created chances. More than perhaps Evans up front. And yeah, that's where I'd probably leave it. Otherwise, I kind of feel, yeah, team effort. No particular standouts for me.
I'm going to give a word to James Waite, who I thought was a real terrier. He was a complete pain in the backside for Colchester today, especially that second half, chasing every ball, snapping around their ankles. They just could not get rid of him, and the number of times he was winning possession for us and then playing a sensible pass, I thought he was really instrumental in the second goal. I thought big shout out to James Waite, who played exceptionally well. And I also thought Kipan Rai, when he came on, you know, okay, he was brought in to just keep them honest in defence and chase lost causes and stuff, but I thought he did it really well, and he was very, very clever the way he played in the build up to the sending off, shepherding the ball out, being big and strong on the ball, getting the reaction out of their player. I thought that was well done as well. But yeah, big 3 points tonight. It really felt like the crowd, it wasn't a big crowd there, but they were really up for it, got behind the team in the second half. That was good fun. Enjoyed that proper blood and thunder game, and I'm looking forward to Saturday. So we will leave it there, I think, Simon.
Great. Yeah, no, I think an important game to have got the 3 points, and that's one out of one for me. Scene one, 1-1. That'll do for me.
Perfect. Lovely stuff.
So that was Tuesday night. Very much a feeling, I think, of having got away with it and ridden our luck somewhat. And then coming into the Harrogate game, it gave us all, yeah, a much needed boost of confidence, I think. But we all know what happened after that. Well, to discuss that game against Harrogate, I'm joined by Dan Williams. Dan made his 1912 Exiles debut with a really lovely match diary from Crewe a little while ago. And having bumped into him on the terrace yesterday, I wanted to get him back on. So welcome, Dan.
Good morning, Ed. Yeah, shame I'm coming on again after a defeat. But
I don't think it's you. You're not a curse, but we could do with you reporting on a win at some point soon. Let's kind of start it off in general terms then. First up, what were your overall impressions and your main takeaways from the game yesterday?
Well, I thought it was a very flat performance from the whole team, from defence through to attack. And the goals particularly were very, very sloppy. Especially seemed to be a problem with them coming down the right-hand side onto McLaughlin. He should have been closing down a lot more intensely with what Cochrane's been trying to get into the team. And still, it seemed to be probably the flattest performance of the season in terms of Harrogate weren't a great side. Arguably their best players on the bench.
That point about closing down, there were definitely some echoes from Tuesday night where it took for us to go behind, and in fact, against Harrogate, it took for us to go two behind before we really started doing the high press, intense stuff. Do you think that's partly just because the players are physically shattered because they're, you know, we've got a small pool, and because of all the injuries, they're all having to play a lot of games, or is it something else?
I think it's probably the intensity of the training, maybe. Because he's always talking about being the fittest team in the league. But look at the injuries. None of the injuries have been caused by tackles, have they? They're all pulled up. Palmerhold, Brentford, Charlie, Adam Lewis just went down innocuously, it seems, at Salford. Jameson and Crewe went down under no challenge.
It's something that, Coughlin, like Flynn, have seized on, that, you know, we can't have the biggest budget, we can't be bringing in, you know, the biggest squad, but what we can be is the fittest team. And so they do, I think it is true, though. I think they do kind of beast them a little bit in training, and I can understand why. The flip side of that is, like you say, especially because we're also signing players who are often have injury records, that's why they're at Newport County. You've got players who are technically good but made of glass. It does then end up costing us, I suppose.
We should have taken 7 points from this week, really, but it's only been 3. I thought we should have won at Salford. We obviously won on Tuesday, and we should have got a draw yesterday when we played the second half especially.
See, I'm not sure about that, because some fans were saying, and Coughlin was saying, that we deserved to get something out of that game yesterday. I sort of felt like, you know, we had a good 20, 30 minutes in the second half, but even though Harrogate, like you say, were a bang average side, I just felt like we deserved nothing, really. We didn't seem to have a good enough game plan, and you can't play well for a third of a game and expect to take anything. You know, you've got to be on it for much longer than that. And also, we only really started playing when Harrogate were 2-0 up. I think if they'd needed to find an extra gear, they perhaps would have done. It felt like they went 2-0 up, sat back a little bit. All right, we got the goal, and then we did come on to them. We did have a go. And on another day, Will did kind of snatches a point. But I think even if we got a point, I'd have felt like it would have been like Colchester, a proper kind of smash and grab.
Yeah, I agree. I was particularly disappointed with the second goal as well from the corner, very similar to the first goal at Salford, near post. Last year, we seemed so good set pieces offensively and defensively. And this year seems to be, we're conceding sloppy goals from set pieces, just switching off. I don't know if that's a lack of organisation or...
And you'd think that Coughlin, as a former centre-back, I mean, he's very good at drilling in the basics. And that was one where we let the ball bounce in our own penalty box. I mean, that's kind of that schoolboy stuff. It was awful to see that goal go in.
I watched it back this morning and I noticed it was Wilding, Bonswell and Bogle all missed the ball. Should we have a centre-half attacking the near post, like in a zone of marking? Should it have been Debris or... Obviously, Delaney's got to be marking their main man. He's our best player in the air. We have someone, remember when we had Robrie and Courtney Baker Richardson all used to defend the near post. You know, we haven't seen them do that defensively now this season.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think it's only Sutton who've conceded more than us this year. And what we would give for a clean sheet at the moment, just to... I almost feel like a clean sheet's more important than a win. You know, just if we could get a couple of 0-0 draws, just remind ourselves, actually, we're not bad at defending, or at least we shouldn't be bad at defending with the players we've got and the manager we've got. So we threw things open to listeners after the game yesterday, and we were overwhelmed by the responses. It really was one of those games that got people talking. So thank you to everyone who sent in comments. We had far too many for me to read out individually. But what intrigued me were there were a lot of areas of consensus that I'm going to ask you about, Dan. You know, they say that there's a wisdom in crowds. And so I wanted to talk about the 4 specific points that it seemed lots of people were all individually talking about. So the first was about the kind of plan of attack yesterday. So Stu, Tony, Daniel Hyrene, Sam all kind of made the point that we were just kind of lumping predictable long balls up to Evans and to Bogle, who are objectively our best two strikers, but are they necessarily our best partnership? What, I don't know, what did you make of that?
Well, I personally think that we've been so waste off in set pieces attacking as well. We had five corners yesterday, eight corners Tuesday, and six corners last Saturday. And apart from Evans having one shot from a corner on Tuesday night, we haven't looked like scoring a goal. And last year, if we'd had that many corners, I guarantee you we'd have scored. With regards to the long ball, I just don't think there's any link between the defence and midfield. There's not someone sitting in there like, I hate to say, like Matty Dolan would do and kind of pick it up. Maybe he would have sprayed 10 into the crowd, but he might have done one Hollywood pass and someone would have been in. But I just think we really, with Bogle and Evans, it doesn't work. It didn't work last season. And you look how well Evans played with Palmer Holden, that kind of pressing from the front, defending, pressing in like a pack. It seems, I like Bogle, but it seems like he's not a Newport County striker. You know what I mean? He's not.
On that, I think the best point I read about this was from Dave, who does the Erastidion account, who texted me yesterday and said, it's mad that Bogle has scored dozens of goals for us, but we still haven't worked out how to play to his strengths, which I think is true. You know, we know if you play Will Evans up front with a big unit like Seb Palmer-Holden, then that works. But Bogle, we haven't worked out who's the right partner for him. Like, the only good partnership seems to be James Waite and Bogle seem to have quite a good understanding, but Bogle and Evans seem to just play on different wavelengths.
Seems that they're always like in each other's way when the ball's coming long. They're both going for it. No one's running off the shoulder. And maybe it's a case of waiting for Zanzala to be fit and he could have a run with Bogle. But well, I don't know. I do worry about it going forward. We need really Palmer Holden back to get back to that way we were playing the first 4 or 5 weeks of it.
Yeah, and I mean, we've with all the games we've got coming up in October and the relatively limited options we've got, that's not ideal either. But I kind of feel like we can't keep having games where we're just playing the way we are yesterday. We've either got to change the supply line to the front two or we've got to change the front two. But yeah, that just felt like it was bread and butter for the Harrogate centre-backs to just head the ball away every time. Thank you very much, you know.
Yeah, and the Harrogate full-backs were, you know, 6 foot plus as well. They were, yeah. Tucking in, it was very organised performance from them. Yeah. I liked the second half when we had Payne down the right and Kibban Rai in front of him. Looked like Kibban Rai was trying to get on the outside and get a cross in. So that's probably the answer for Bogle, is get the ball in the box.
Yeah, well, and we'll maybe pick up on that point actually, because one of the things that people were talking about, so let's see, Gabe, Trevor Daniels, Reese were all saying, we need to give Payne a start. You know, he was a live wire against Colchester when he came on. He did well yesterday. McLaughlin has turned in a couple of kind of so-so performances, although, you know, I think he's a solid player. But even if, like a lot of the young lads we've got on loan, Payne makes the odd mistake, does he deserve a go now in your view?
I personally does deserve a go because McLaughlin seems to have been done a couple of times on the right-hand side leading into goals. Especially, well, the corner for the second goal yesterday, that came from McLaughlin getting done. And Bennett made a great recovery challenge, but obviously went at the corner, resulting in a score. And I thought the first goal as well was sloppy down our right-hand side. So, and then you just look at the impact Payne made going forward then second half, and how he played coming on Tuesday. It seems a no-brainer for me, but is it too much of a weak point having Payne next to Stebbery, two very inexperienced players on the right-hand side of the defence, playing a back four?
Well, that then brings me on to the third point that people were talking about, and I think you were one of the ones making this point, that do we need to maybe make the shift back to a kind of back five? Because when Coughlin came in and he needed to solidify things, he stuck with that five at the back. And arguably, we've signed players who are better suited to playing as wing-backs rather than full-backs. So if we play Bonswell on the left and then either Payne or McLaughlin again at Swindon, would they be better in a back five so they can bomb forward, assuming, of course, that we've got three fit centre-halves to put in the middle?
Well, yeah, I personally know that's the right way to go. And I don't know why it hasn't happened, but Scott Bennett could drop back and McLaughlin could fill his space in the midfield. And then you've got room for Payne, McLaughlin, both playing. And McLaughlin's got the energy in midfield. We've seen him strike the ball like he did with Barrow at home, great goal. And I think that's probably the way. But then it's that three at the back is it? We haven't got the numbers. We've got five defenders injured. We could play Baker, Drysdale, Jameson, Clark, and Adam Lewis. But they're all injured, and there's no return on the horizon for a few of them. It's worrying points.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. There's a better back five sat in the physio's room than there is available to pick. But I mean, yeah, I feel like maybe because the priority at the moment needs to just be on not conceding, I'd almost be tempted to kind of try a like 5-4-1, you know, choose some of the attacking options in midfield, the likes of Waite, maybe even Wood, or stick Evans back in more of a kind of midfield role, and let's just try and grind out a clean sheet. You know, there may be something in that. The final point that got made was, do we need to maybe give Nick Townsend a rest? So let's see who was talking about this. Nigel, Paul Williams, Chris Simmons, making the point that Townsend's shot stopping hasn't been great. Maxted maybe deserves a chance to show what he can do. He'll no doubt get a chance on Tuesday night at Cheltenham in the Spotify Trophy. But would you maybe give Maxted a bit of a longer run just to mix things up a bit?
Well, I think maybe he'd give the defence a bit more, a new voice. Maybe he could organise a bit better. Townsend does seem quite in his shape when he's conceded a goal. Possibly he was unsighted yesterday. He didn't seem to move for that first one, did he?
No.
Possibly unsighted. If Maxted plays well Tuesday, then I would throw him in against Swindon. Because I remember last year, Nick didn't have a good game away at Swindon. So I know that's the last year, but still, I think maybe it's time to make a change. He's had a good run Townsend, but he's got an experienced League Two keeper on the bench. I mean, what harm can it do with the shipping goals? So let's give him a run. I do agree with the general consensus that he could change the goalkeeper.
I mean, it's a strange thing where, you know, we're right down to the bare bones of the squad. We can't name a full bench. And yet, yeah, as fans, we're lobbying for changes. But I think it definitely felt yesterday like it was one of those unacceptable kind of performances where people do want to see a reaction. And again, it's not a criticism necessarily of Coughlan, who's working with the tools he's got. And I thought his post-match comments yesterday were bang on the money. But I think there was quite a lot of anger really yesterday. You know, I don't tend to get angry about Newport County games because life's too short. But I did come away feeling fuming yesterday that against a poor side, we'd not done well. Just a couple of other points that came up. I mean, there was a lot of griping about the officials in general yesterday. I mean, I'm not sure whether even if they'd given every decision County's way, we necessarily would have got anything from the game. But what did you make of it?
Well, it's very stop-start. We couldn't really get any flow with any possession. But then when we did have possession, we weren't doing anything with it anyway. So I think that's a bit of a lazy, tired excuse.
The one thing that I did think was maybe fair about that is there was a lot of, if you're going to do stop-start officiating and punish every foul, then you need to be consistent with it. And, you know, we have the usual thing of opposition defenders climbing all over Bogle and Evans, and that doesn't get given. But yet niggly little challenges elsewhere on the park do. Like, I really want to see a fourth division referee say early on at the first attempt at, you know, climbing on Omar Bogle, right, that is a foul. And if you keep doing it, you will get a yellow card, you know, because once a defender knows they won't get away with it, they'll have to think of something else.
Yeah, there's one point yesterday where I think it must have been four Harrogate defenders were around Bogle, and Bogle got penalised for that.
Yeah.
They all at some point touched him in the find the ball within the air. I do feel sorry for Bogle because he's probably not the best as a back to goal striker. He's probably needs the ball into his feet a bit more, but he's got to try and bring the high ball down, and he's getting penalised all the time.
Yeah,
and the shirt getting ripped all the time. The club's probably can't afford anymore Bogle manager.
Yeah, I mean, it's a thing we've talked about before that, you know, because he's a big, strong player, we tend to hoof balls up to him. But firstly, I don't think that's his game. And secondly, opposition defenders at this level know how to deal with that. Whereas if you get it into his feet, he tends to be much more innovative than perhaps you'd expect. So, and the other point that was made about the officiating, yeah, Paul was talking about the inconsistent application of the handball rule, which I think we did see a little bit yesterday. I mean, I'm very old-fashioned with this. I'm of the view that has to be intentional and very rarely is, but that's not the rule anymore. So I don't know.
Yeah, when you compare watching like, with the VAR and all that, I am still glad we've got officials and we can. If the referee decision's final, that's it. I'd rather be supporting a League Two club than having the game stop for minutes on end without VAR.
Hallelujah! So. I couldn't agree with you more. Okay, well, we're going to wrap it up there because I think we've done some good examination of the key learning points from yesterday, but I don't want to dwell on it because I'm depressed enough already. But let's finish with all the good stuff. So, player of the pod, who has stuck out over the last couple of games for you, Dan?
I'd have to say Scott Bennett. I mean, his legs have probably gone in, but I think his recovery tackle has been in the right position, a simple pass, and he's really been outstanding, I think. And so the last three games, I think he's had great games.
Yeah, I agree. I've liked Bennett the last few games. I've liked Waite. I think I'm going to give it to Ryan Delaney, though, because, you know, he is kind of last man standing in terms of experienced first choice leader in the back line. And, you know, he can't do everything. And he didn't have a perfect game yesterday, but I could see why he got man of the match. And, you know, he was very good on Tuesday as well. So I will go with him. Shout out some beefs.
I would say the atmosphere on the North Terrace yesterday afternoon, the group of lads, they kept the singing going when the team wasn't really inspiring them, but they kept going. Hopefully those lads still keep coming over to Rodney Parade and making some noise, because fair play to them.
Yeah, I thought the atmosphere was really good Tuesday night as well. And I think I said on Twitter, fair play. I thought Colchester brought a decent number, given it, you know, that's a half day off work and getting back in the middle of the night. And they made a decent noise, which meant the county fans were also making a decent noise. By the end, I thought Tuesday night was a really good, proper atmosphere and a proper blood and thunder game. So, yeah, I'd agree with that. Any beefs?
My beef is the cost of ticket price for Swindon away. £27 is disgusting. That to watch a fourth division match. Yeah. You're pricing it, if you've got to take two kids, stuff to add on your petrol, your food, just £100 a day to watch a fourth division match.
Yeah,
scandalous. And Swindon and crew was £27, by the way, earlier in the season. They should be ashamed of themselves.
Yeah, it's a lot of money. It really is a lot of money. I think that's a point well made. Great. Well, Dan, thank you very much for coming on. I'm sure we'll have you back on again soon.
Yeah, no problem, Ed. Thank you very much for having me on.
A quick reminder for listeners that our intro music is by the wonderful Tinty and the Bucket Hats, who I see are playing at Rodney Parade on Bonfire Night. So do catch them live if you can. And you can also buy their music through all the usual places. That wraps us up for today. We will hopefully be back next weekend with reaction to that game at Swindon. But until then, look after yourselves, look after each other, and above all, keep it county.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.